radio, okay? That's okay.
Well, anyway, so we're going to do the devotional reflection this morning, and today I'm going to look at the word trust. You know, most of us trust everybody else except God. A lot of us, I say, you know, trust everybody else except God. And we have more trust in ourselves, our friends, or whatever. And the last person we want to really consult with and trust is God. So this morning I'd like to come from Proverbs 3:5-6 and let you know exactly what that says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now that's a good bit of instruction there. As a matter of fact, that's a wholesome instruction, because it's telling you, you don't make any decisions on your own. You always consult with God in order to be led on the right path. When we have an important decision to make, we sometimes feel that we can't trust anyone, not even God. But God knows what is best for us. He's the better judge of what we want than we are. We must trust him completely in every choice we make. We should not omit careful thinking or belittle our own ideas, belittle God-given ability to reason. But we should not trust our own ideas to the exclusion of all others. We must be willing to listen to and be corrected by God's word and wise counselors. Bring your decisions to God in prayer. Use the Bible as your guide, then follow God's leading. So that's telling us that we should make no decision on our own before we jump out there thinking that we can do it ourselves. We should go in prayer and consult God and ask him what is the best way to go in this situation. And, of course, he will answer for your prayer, and he will guide you in the right direction. To receive God's guidance, Solomon said this, we must acknowledge God in all that we do. About 1,000 years later, Jesus emphasized the same truth in Matthew 6:33. And we know that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us or you. So that's the way we got to go. You got to seek the kingdom first. You got to find out what God says about it before you jump out there and try to do it yourself. Look at your values and priorities. What is important to you? Where is God on that list? What is his advice? Make him a vital part of everything you do. Then he will guide you, because you will be working to accomplish his purposes. when it talks about his purposes, he created every last one of us with a purpose. And of course, ultimately, our purpose with whatever we are doing is to glorify God. Give him the honor, the glory, and the praise. And that's our whole duty. So I just wanted to share that with you today. So if you out there deciding that you're going to decide things on your own and do things on your own, oh, brother, you're traveling down the wrong road. Seek God first and see what he says about it. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, the maker of all our lives, we come to you, Lord, this first Sunday of February, and we just want to take the time to thank you, Lord. We want to take the time to just thank you for being who you are. We want to take the time to thank you for being in our lives and reminding us that we need to do the things that are yours, that is your will, not ours. Lord, we want to take the time today, just thank us that we are able to be here on this Hope is Alive radio station. Thank you for Brother Brown. Thank you for the participants of this program. And we just know that this broadcast is going out to millions. And we just want to encourage people, Lord, to just look to you. Look to you when they need their guidance. Look to you when they need help. Look to you for everything. You will always give them what they need, not what they want, but you will give them what they need. Lord, I just want to take the time to thank you just for my life. I want to thank you for our church. Thank you for my pastor. Just thank you for New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Hopefully someone will hear this broadcast and ask, what must I do to be saved? And if they do that, there's always somebody that will be there to help them. Lord, I want to thank you for letting your son go on to cross the Calvary and do what he had to do so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. He's the reason why we have life. He is the reason that we are able to do the things that we do. He's the one that lets us go about our daily living. He may not be doing it the way he would like it, but he allows it. But I'm still asking that we continue to do God's will, not our will, but God's will. And we'll be so very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Look at somebody and tell him he brought me from a mighty long way.
Yes, praises be to God. Just celebrate God. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, how he's brought us, how he's kept us, how he's going to keep us all the way. That work that he has begun in us, he will perfect it until the day he comes to receive us as his own. Joy, 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 joy in Jesus Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, today I'd like to share with you out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, extended passage in verses 14 to 29 in the New King James Version. Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wobbled, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I'm going to focus on that last statement from the disciples to Jesus. When he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? I want to use for a theme, when you get a chance, ask Jesus. When you get a chance, ask Jesus. I hope when Jesus comes back for his church that he does not find us being like these disciples, standing around making excuses about why we couldn't get any serious work done for God. Lord knows we spend enough time caucusing, meeting, greeting, eating, conferencing, conventioning, workshopping, seminaring, and retreating. Yet we seem so helpless in the face of so many problems and conditions that destroy people's lives. Every day, after most news reports, locally and globally, we are left shaking our hands in disgust, asking ourselves, what is this world coming to? I hear the same kind of frustration in the voice of Jesus when he shakes his head and says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long do I have to put up with you? I believe Jesus was disappointed that his disciples were not more ministry effective when he sent them out to witness and to perform wonders by the power of his name. He sent them out to do as he was doing, healing the sick, casting out demons. I'm sure the disciples had some success. They weren't totally inept. But the case Mark reviews in chapter 9 is a very serious case, and apparently it called for more spiritual strength and power than the disciples could manifest in order to bring about a healing and restoration of this man's son, to take him from misery to a miracle recovery. I come this morning wondering what the church has to do to be better able to handle the serious cases presented to us in our own day and time. How many more have to be lost to the streets and its addictions? How many more have to be beaten to death by those sworn to protect and serve? How many more wives have to be battered and children abused? How many more men will absent themselves from marital and parental responsibility before the Church of Jesus Christ seeks the word and the wisdom of our Lord about how to drive out these demons and make people and our families and our communities whole again? why can't we cast them out? One of the things this text suggests to me is that good help is hard to find. Jesus called these disciples out of the world. He trained them. He tutored them. He demonstrated to the world by word and deed how to make use of the power of God to do great things. Not for show and tell, not so they could beat themselves on their breast and stick out their chest and say what a great work they have done, but to give glory to God for making people's lives better than they had ever been. That's why he gave them power, and that's why he sent them out. He called on them to help with the work of the kingdom. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. Our church doors are open every Sunday and every day during the week. We're doing a lot of stuff. We're very busy. But when you get a chance, ask the Lord if what you are doing is helping him accomplish any serious work. Are you leading anybody from sin to salvation? That's serious work. Are you rescuing anybody from the dangers of living in this world without the love of God in their heart, helping them to make it from day to day and to keep on keeping on? That's serious work. And are you at all parting your lips and lifting your voice to witness to the healing, saving power of Christ the Lord, who still lives today, to give any believer victory? Has anyone heard from you that there is a balm in Gilead, in Galilee, and in the San Bernardino Valley? Because that is serious work. If you're going to be a help to the cause of Christ, then let there be a positive difference between you and religious folk who are only about form and fashion. Jesus caught up to some of his disciples who had been sent out to work. He found them in the middle of a crowd better known for their form and their fashion, their ceremonies and their religious garments, better known for that than for anything they do for the kingdom of God. He found them standing around, running their mouths. They were disgusting. No doubt debating with the scribes why they couldn't do what their master had shown them how to do. Can't you hear the scribes taunting with glee? Nah, 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 nah. We knew you were just a bunch of phonies. Maybe now you will stick to the law books of Moses and follow a real prophet. Before they could embarrass themselves any further, Jesus comes along, breaks up the testy contest between his disciples and the scribes, saying in King James parlance, why are you questioning them? As if to say, why are you asking them about my work? You want to know about matters such as this? You should be asking me. I think the church has forgotten that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Today, it seems that everybody wants to be an expert. We all want to hang out a shingle and be the authority. You see them on talk shows, don't you? All those relationship experts who in 10 minutes will tell you how to put your relationships, your family, your love life all back together. You've seen them, the political pundits who claim to know what folk are going to do before they do it. I was watching TV late one night after finishing a revival service, and I happened upon one of those religious infomercials. I wouldn't hazard to call it ministry. I'm going to call it an infomercial. A Bishop Jordan, who claimed to be a prophet, was wearing clergy attire and advertising his so-called ministry. He wanted folk who had serious problems to call him at 1-800-4-PROPHET. Yes, the call was free, but for a $120 seed offering, he would send you a personalized prophecy that would tell you what was going to happen in your life over the next 30 days. What would be happening in your life generally. If you wanted a general prophecy, you could pay for a 30-day prophecy. Or for the same $120 seed offering, you could ask him two specific questions that you needed answers for. And you should have heard the testimonies of people who called in about this, that, and the other. I made up my mind right then that I was going to church that morning and tell somebody with serious problems, save your money. And when you get a chance, ask Jesus. Ask Jesus about your problems. Ask Jesus for your healing. Ask Jesus for the job you need. Ask Jesus if the person you're seeing is the right one for you. Ask Jesus if your money is being invested in the right place as a good steward would do. Ask Jesus. If your problems are serious and you can't afford to be dialing 1-800 or 1-900, if your problems are serious, you need to be calling on the one who knows all about you. You need to be calling on the one who will see you through. After listening to the scribes and the Lord's helpless disciples debate what went wrong with their healing exercise, they were relieved to see Jesus, who had never lost a case. He spoke a word, and a centurion servant was healed on his sickbed miles away. He spit on clay, and a man's sight was restored. He released more power from the hem of his garment than all of the expert physicians and magicians. Jesus asked, "What's going on here?" And a desperate father burst from the crowd, glad to see the master physician who knew how to make folk well. He said, "I brought my son to your disciples. He has a deaf and dumb spirit that has been ruining his life. He keeps on having seizures. He has fits that tear him up from the inside out. And every time I see him writhing on the ground and I know that I can't do anything for him, it tears me up inside." Jesus said, "How long has your child had this condition?" And the father said, "He has been like this since he was a child. Now he's a young man, and he has been like this for a long time." I suspect that the reason why our cases are so serious, why our problems are so difficult and the circumstances are so desperate, is because we've been battling with our problems for so long. T.D. Jakes talks rightly when he talks about generational curses, problems carried over from one generation to another because we have not come to Jesus to break the cycle. So I asked you this morning, how long are you going to handle the same problems over and over by yourself before you ask Jesus? How long are you going to be sick, confused? How long having sleepless nights? How long before you ask Jesus to get involved? How long before you sign off and surrender and say to the Lord, "Have it your way. Let your will be done. Do what you can." This man said, "Jesus, if you can." Jesus looked back at him and said, "If you can, not if I can help, but if you can, believe." I don't know what was wrong with the boy. His problems were so complicated they couldn't even diagnose it, which is why they just said he had a deaf and dumb spirit tearing him up. But whatever was wrong with him, Jesus dealt with it. Whatever was wrong with him, Jesus delivered him from it. You see, he took the battle from the boy and made it his own. And that's what you have to understand. Jesus takes no delight in seeing you in misery. Jesus is not unaffected by hearing you crying and seeing you cutting yourself with stones like legion. Jesus understands your sorrow. He knows what you're going through. He just wants you to make the battle his. Haven't you heard, dearly beloved, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't you know that if you have the Lord on your side, then it doesn't matter what all the experts say? Jesus gave the young man life and returned him to his family. Once again, in the presence of his disciples, once again, in the presence of the church, Jesus shows that he is the one with the answers. So the disciples, having watched the master at work, the disciples, having received one more lesson and the perfect love of God, which heals, restores, and reconciles and saves, they waited until they got back to the house. They waited till they got a private moment with Jesus. And they said, Master, why couldn't we cast the demons out? My brothers and sisters, we need more power. We need to be closer to Jesus. We need to be so in touch and so in tune that when we are presented with serious cases, we don't have to stand by as if we have no help. And if folks we're trying to help have no hope. I was preaching one week at a church, and the Spirit was moving powerfully. You could tell the Spirit was loosening and breaking bonds. Even men, grown men in the audience, were crying as they heard about the love of God that reclaims and restores life. This one man came with penitent tears, and his footsteps were wobbly because he was ashamed of what he was bringing to the altar. The man was directed to the chairman of the deacon board, and the chairman looked at the man with fear in his eyes and passed the man to the deacon next to him. And the two of them stood there like deer in the headlights of an approaching vehicle, because between the two of them, they didn't know a prayer to pray, a scripture to read, or a word to declare that would minister to his needs. We need power. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit so we can respond to serious cases. No wonder Jesus said this time requires prayer and fasting. It requires you have a prayer life that gets started with him in the morning, goes through the day with him, and ends the day with him. Prayer and fasting, turning down something, sacrificing something you want to learn of Christ and get some power for your living. This kind cometh not out except by prayer. Serious cases, y'all. We can't respond to them without prayer. I think that we believe all we have left is prayer, that we don't have much to work with. But Jesus, when you get a chance to ask him, he will tell you that for what you need to start with prayer. For the problems you want resolved, you start with prayer. For the desperate cases you know you can't handle and shouldn't try by yourself, give them to Jesus. Give them to him in prayer. Not any old kind of prayer. Not that hit and miss, some tiny kind of prayer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for another day, but I'm too tired, Lord. Talk to you later. Nah, every now and then, you have to get in one of those knee prayers. One of those carry by the bedside through the night kind of prayers. One of those, I'm staying right here and pray till you bless me kind of prayers. Hallelujah. The church over and over again is going to be presented with serious cases. And the Lord will still need some good help so that the work of the kingdom goes forward with some people prayed up, ready and willing and able to respond to the serious circumstances of our lives and our time. Oh, pray with me, saints. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see if I cannot completely be fully yours, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Will you fill our hearts with the Spirit's power to keep on keeping on and to do what you've shown us how to do? Glory be to God. Hallelujah and amen.
Reverend Chambers, with the invitation. Pastor, it seems like we lost Reverend Chambers. Would you like to do the invitation, please?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's my happy privilege to invite you to receive Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit is yours for the asking. Just the faith to believe in the report. In who he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who has come to take our sins away. And we pray if you heard the message of the gospel today and believe it in your heart, that you're willing to confess with your mouth that you need the salvation, the gift of grace and mercy through Jesus Christ that God has provided for your life to be made new. Whether it's a sickness of the body, or whether it's distress in your spirit, trouble in your mind, that you need to be delivered from. Be delivered into the hands of the one who created you. Be delivered into the hands of the one who gave you life. And give your all, your mind, your heart, your body, and your soul, back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave you life and who saved your life. We invite you to become part of the family of Jesus Christ by your faith to believe in his word. And the witness of the saints through the ages that he is real, not dead, but alive, and continuing by his spirit to draw such as would be saved to him. We'd be so pleased to know about your decisions, so pleased if you would share in the fellowship of our local branch of Zion, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, where we're just seeking the Savior, following the word of God, trying to be made better every day. You can reach out to us by calling the church office. You call and someone will be directed to you to pray with you, to counsel you. And bless the Lord, if you're electronically savvy and you want to email us, send us a message, we'll reach out to you as you reach out to us and embrace you fully as a brother and sister in Christ. We're located at 1575 West 17th Street in the city of San Bernardino, California. But God is everywhere, and wherever you're hearing this message, you can be set free, for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ will make you free indeed. Glory, hallelujah. We celebrate you right now with thanksgiving. Amen.
And mighty ruler, the king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. Awesome wonder, yeah, in mighty ruler, king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. And we bow down and worship Yahweh. Oh, 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 yeah. We bow down and worship Yahweh. Come on, everybody, lift your voice. Let's worship.
Your
will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord God, consecrate these elements and consecrate us for the Master's use in Jesus' name. Now, my brothers and sisters, take the bread. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let us take and eat together. Lord, we thank you for the word that was made flesh to dwell among us and show us the love of God. Truly, we are loved by you, Lord God. You've changed our lives. You delivered our soul from sin, brought us from darkness to light. As we continue in this world, bless us on this pilgrim's journey to keep faithful and to be fruitful and to be led by the Spirit of God as you have blessed us with this gift to all believers. In Jesus' name. Let us take the cup of blessing, the cup that is a symbol of his shed blood. When Jesus said, drink ye all of it. Let us drink together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the power that is still in the blood of the Lamb to redeem every lost soul who by faith calls upon the Lord with faith believing. Lord God, we commit everyone who has shared in this experience to your grace that is sufficient for all our needs. Give us strength, Lord God. Give us the joy of our salvation in Jesus Christ and shine your light so that we might see the way, the truth, and the life that we must follow. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you and we bless you. Hallelujah and amen. Glory to God, saints. Glory to God.
Hey, Malemo senda ya bunde mambuntera Jumbo se Emma mamonda leja dambu Se mambenda dalibunde mambuntera Lion of the tribe of Judah
You will come alive around
Jehovah Rapha God, yeah Potent God, yeah.
Oh Lord,
Jehovah Elohim, God,
yeah.
From January to December, yeah.
Oh
yeah. In everything I do, oh God,
you will come alive around.
Oh yeah, let me my papa, yeah, yeah, oh Nazaya. Touch my life again. You made me smile again. You gave me joy again. I will glorify your name. I come and pour hallelujah, pour hallelujah, para eh. Ebu bedike, hey, ebu bedike, papa, ebu bedike, daddy. You turn my life around, turn my world around, and we glorify your name. Receive a glory, Lion of the tribe of Judah.
You will turn my life around,
miracle walking God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
David G. Turned my life around.
I'm changing, change your God.
I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Amen, amen, amen. And I want to give a special thanks to Reverend Floyd Martin for the devotional and reflections. Prayer, Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. The invitation by Dr. Michael Andrew Orns, and the live message by Dr. Michael Andrew Orns. And now, welcome to the set, our very own Dr. Michael Andrew Orns. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Praises be to God. What a wonderful, glorious day it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I tell you, after that message, before, during, and after that message, I feel uplifted. I feel encouraged. In spite of everything that's going on, Dr. Orns, I feel encouraged, sir. I really do. And I want to celebrate, and we want to celebrate all month, as we do throughout the year, Black History Month. So, Dr. Orns, if you would allow us a few minutes, I have a few questions I'd like to ask. And being today is the first Sunday in Black History Month. We've always celebrated the past heroes and history makers. Who are you impressed with in our time as history makers can be celebrated right now, who are building legacies for the future celebrations?
Well, praise God. I think we first ought to celebrate that history is fluid, that it isn't locked up in the past, and that means that every generation has the opportunity to contribute to history in a way that's going to impact the future and those who come behind us. So first of all, let's just celebrate God gives gifts in every generation, and that means you and I have something embedded in us that has been put there by God to make a wonderful and lasting difference in the world. And anybody who doesn't think that they have such a gift just ought to ask the Lord what it is that he put in them and ask him to put it to you. But I think in our own day and time, you can look in various arenas and see persons making a marked difference that is inspiring. You look in the world justice and government. We always keep our eyes on the government because they have rule and authority over us, and sometimes rule and authority gets corrupted, which is why Jesus tells us that he's going to put the government on his shoulders so that we have hope for better times. But in the government that we have now, we're thankful for the likes of Justice Ketanji Jackson, who was recently put on the Supreme Court, the first black woman, African-American woman to serve in that capacity. And we know that just being appointed and approved is a historical thing. But more than that will be the contribution that she makes to the court as she fearlessly fights for justice as she understands it to be. And I'm thankful for that. If you look in the world of sports, and we pay a lot of attention to sports. We're paying a lot of attention to it right now with the Super Bowl coming up. And one analyst pointed out that it's history making that we have two black quarterbacks facing off against each other in their respective teams. And what an inspiration that is to see those of our own ethnic family making it to the heights of their sports arena, because sports can be very inspiring. We have a lot of heroes who our young people have a lot of heroes that they look to and model themselves after. So when we can see ourselves in prime time reaching the highest levels in sports, it can be transformative. It really can. And if we look in the world of music, you know, how we're continuing to changed the landscape of the culture with music, and we see the likes of those who are making a difference there, and we say to ourselves, oh, wow, that really can be me. And so, yeah, we've got people right here, right now, making a difference on the landscape. And look, what about Hakeem Jeffries in the United States? A vote here and there and a vote there and here, and he could very well be Speaker of the House. He's certainly in a position to move in that capacity with a righteous change in the hearts of some people, one way or the other. And, you know, you just never know. After Barack Obama, there are others now believe that they can reach that pinnacle of power and influence in our African-American family. And so we thank God for that. And there are so many, many more. So, yeah, we got some people right here and now making a difference that's going to impact the future.
That's why I'm encouraged. You know, recently I saw that movie with Will Smith in it, and it goes all the way back to slavery, and I was disturbed throughout that movie. Yet I'm encouraged because I look at then and I look at now, and even though there's every obstacle still thrown at us throughout what the 400 years here, or how many ever hundred of years that's been here, and we have continuously improved and evolved in spite of it all. Lack of jobs, lack of income, and lack of it all. And you say, where does this resilience come from? Yes, Dr. Owens, I am encouraged. And speaking of which, before I go to the other question that I have on the board here, I'll have one of my own. This afternoon, I'm going to do a program. Well, we do a program each and every Sunday called the Boomerang Radio Show. Not sure whether you had a chance to listen on or not. But we cover a myriad of topics, and today we are celebrating Black History, and we will do throughout the month and throughout the year. But my question to you is, why are there so many oppressors? Why are there people out here that don't want CRT taught? And see, they are also, I'm just going to say it, they are lying. It is not taught in our elementary school, but yet they want to ban it in elementary schools. Why is it that certain books are banned right now? And then also you probably recently found out that they want to ban now AP Black Study or Black History courses in college. So I really need your take. And so why is there such an opposition, and how and why have we still been able, like Martin Luther King says, overcome so many obstacles? I know it's a long question, but I had to get it all out.
Yeah, well, you know, what the song comes to mind from Tasha Cobbs, and that is, you know, break every chain, break every chain. And I think history has shown that truth does break chains, and that where there is truth, there is light. And that breaks chains. And you don't have to be Mr. Atlas to break a chain. You just need to be a carrier of truth. And, you know, the truth about our history will break chains if it's exposed, if it's highlighted, if it's accentuated. If our young people believe in themselves, believe they are somebody, then, you know, watch our world, you know, because those who have broken through are those who wouldn't accept the stereotypes, wouldn't accept the myths about themselves, and had significant others who believed in them and encouraged them to be their best and they could be somebody. If we had more people like that, you know, we wouldn't have to be waiting on the next Martin Luther King Jr. We could be waiting on the next Johnny or the next Jimmy or the next Paul, the next Martin, the next whoever. The next Sarah, the next Jane, you know, the next young Black woman or Black young man or woman who believes the truth about how God fearfully and wondrously made us is somebody who can make all the difference in the world if they're carrying the right message and is on the right mission and have faith in God to open the doors to make a difference. So, yeah, they want to shut doors. They want to close books. They want to bury the truth because the truth will make you free. And we in the church have always accepted that it's part of our responsibility to uncover the truth, to teach it to our young people, and to rehearse it, you know, like as the children of Israel were told, you know, that the children are going to ask someday, what mean these things? And you need to be able to tell them about the story of our overcoming and what God has done to be on our side when it comes to oppression. So, yeah, they scared. We ought to give them something to be scared of.
That's right. You know, I tell you what, profoundly spoken. Yeah. And you said, what are they afraid of? Okay. Do they know something we don't know? And in many cases, they do, because they know the strength, and many of them know our history, know the strength, and know the power, and says, oh my God, you can't unleash this beast. You cannot do that. And that's why there's so much oppression, but also appropriation. So, if you notice, just like, the minerals and everything that's of value over in our motherland, over in Africa, and everything here that we possess, see, it is claimed to be hated, yet it is appropriated. It is stolen from us. So, you know, you're talking out, or they're talking out both sides of their lips. You're not this, but I'm going to take it from you. Okay, that is really a strange dichotomy there, Dr. Owens. It is really mind-blowing how, and we heard over here, oh, don't pay any attention to what you see, what you're actually seeing on TV, which leads to my next question. There was a tragedy that happened, and I believe it happened on January the 7th, and many of us didn't find out about it until later on in the month of January, and that is the murder of Tyree Nichols. And there are a couple of things that come to mind with me on that. There were black officers that really, I guess, they committed the most heinous of the crimes that were there, because there were many. There were more than five. Okay, yet, I have a question about, and I'm glad that it happened, the swiftness in which the punishment came down. Yet, we don't see that often. Dr. Orange, we don't see that swiftness in police misconduct being punished that quickly. And you know exactly what I'm saying, sir. You know what I'm saying. And so let me go on, and then I want you to really jump in, and I really want your insight on this. And all of this was in plain sight as the world and the nations saw. Just like we saw George Floyd. But we didn't see the quickness, the swiftness there, did we? Last Sunday, you said last Sunday that his name should be mentioned in every church everywhere. What is the message that should be coming from the church about this tragic occurrence? And also, like, for you to judge or comment on the swiftness of this action, yet not in all, Dr. Owens.
Well, you know, I said the reason why I said his name should be mentioned in every church across the land, and I didn't say what denomination, I didn't say what racial constitution or anything like that, what the economic makeup of the church or what denominational banner they are. I said the church, because the Church of Jesus Christ, whoever are people of faith who follow his lead, his spirit, whatever, know that what we saw before us was downright evil. It was evil incarnate. It was sin demonstrated before us in living color and in plain sight. And we who believe in the power of salvation over sin could not have a more stark demonstration of what it is that Jesus came to deliver us from, man's inhumanity to man. murder goes all the way back to one of the original sins, okay? And to see it demonstrated, acted out in the manner that it was before us on television is proof positive that our work is not done in trying to make the kingdom of this world the kingdom of our God. Sin has no color. Evil has no color. It's all about a mindset, an antichrist kind of spirit that denies the humanity of another person and allows you to think that you are doing some good when you clearly are doing something that is demonstratively evil. And so it's what we preach against. It's what we should teach is not of God. And no matter how others may interpret the same thing we see and try to justify it, people of faith, people of the Spirit of God know that this is not of God. And I'm glad that the people in Memphis, those that are in authority in Memphis, responded swiftly because the ability to achieve justice in one place puts a crack in the wall that allows the water of life to come rushing through. And water is a powerful force. When we got convictions in the George Floyd case, that opened up a crack in the cement wall that had been secure for so long. And the water of life kept pouring through those little cracks and creates busted cisterns after a while. If we continue to have the flow of truth and the word of God and people who are willing to speak truth to power, as long as we don't lay down and sit down and resign from our responsibilities one to the other and understand we are our brother's keeper, we'll keep on cracking that wall until justice flows like a mighty river and righteousness like a mighty stream. And we have to trust that God can work through us to make a difference in what we see. I'm glad that the media was on board with showing it and not hiding it. And, you know, that was very much an ally during the civil rights movement when people didn't understand how stark was the evil. They saw it in living color with the hoses and the dogs and the police with their sticks and their guns and their water hoses. And sometimes it just takes a picture to bring things to life that people can no longer ignore. For some people to come on across that wide chasm of ignorance and see how destructive a certain spirit and mentality can be, and racism is certainly a destructive mindset and a destructive spirit, and it can harbor and it can be in the hearts of whites, it can be in the hearts of blacks toward blacks, because it's not a color, it's a spirit, and we come against that spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen. You know, like they say, a picture, and in this case, a video is worth a thousand words. Dr. Owens, thank you so much for that. The insight, your message, and everything that you bring, sir. I really appreciate that. Before we go, is there anything you would like for our audience to know? The Studio W Buzz listening audience, that I may have forgotten to ask before you close us out in prayer.
Well, we certainly invite, the listening audience as you have opportunity to come in person or share with us online, the happenings at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Certainly Sunday morning services, and at the end of this month on fourth Sunday, we will have our Black History celebration, and we will celebrate persons of long years of service, of significant contribution, and nonagenarians, people who are 90 years old and plus this year, because they've been difference makers too, all the nameless people who are not in the history books, but have seen the lightning flash and heard the thunder roll and have endured and are role models for the young people coming through these days and this generation. So you can join us at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church and share our joy as we celebrate the God of our weary years who are who's still with us and seeing us through. Yeah. Dear Lord, we thank you and we bless your name for your mighty works, for your power, Lord God, for your watchful care, for your faithfulness toward us, for great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, new mercies we see every day. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we press forward, that we would be ambassadors, that we be agents of redemptive change, that we would bring about a beloved community indeed, because the love in our hearts, one for the other. Now, Lord God, bless the church everywhere and in every heart and in every house. And bless those who do not know you, Lord, to be introduced in a way that they can receive the gift of faith to believe what Christ has done and who you are in this world and this day and time. God bless, by in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we commend our all to you for your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Owens. Wow.
God bless you, Brother Brown.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Come on, use your key. Use your key.
There is power.